you have a questioning nature and a desire to nourish your essence within, you have reached the realm of truth. Live from Inner Space, it's the next sequel to Interactive Enlightenment, brought to you by your host, Seven Bomar. Enjoy nonstop breakthroughs, advanced knowledge, and self-discovery to the core of your very essence. Join us as we map the blueprint to the cosmos and dissolve the mysteries of the Matrix. You are now connected to the Keymaker.
Wholeness and balanced vibrations to everyone, and thank you for tuning in once again to the Keymaker episode 2. It's definitely great to be with everyone on this Saturday. It's 7 o'clock Central Time PM, but of course it's different times for everyone across the globe. And you know what a good way to spend your Saturday. You know, I guess in the world, as we would say, that Saturdays are generally spent in the club or doing something that's a little less productive. So it's great to tune in to expansion and knowledge. So I'm going to do my best to make it a powwow and a great evening and a time in which you can continue to expand and continue to grow. Obviously, today is episode 2, and so I've definitely promised to answer some of the questions that were submitted throughout the week and even the week before to the Keymaker Show. And for those who are unfamiliar with what we're doing here is we're answering some of the deepest, toughest questions related to spirituality. And if you have a question, you can actually submit that question by going to astroquest.com/ask, and then you'll get a form. You can fill out that form. We'll get those questions, and then we look to get them answered in the next show. For those who are just participating, and obviously this is episode 2, so this is the first time that I'll actually be having getting questions answered. But I would also like to go into somewhat of a dissertation before I begin to answer those questions. So if you're looking for your questions to be answered and you're just waiting on that, then you probably will need to tune into hour 2. Or if you just want to get that expansion and at that latest level of innovative knowledge, you can keep on the line and you'll get it right now. So today, the actual title to today's show is actually The Source of Dualism. I'll probably reconfigure that title by after the show, but it does have a lot to do with many forces that are around, but not just around in society, because obviously we have a lot of things going on, and just recently, obviously, the Paris attacks, and I'm sure somebody wants me to comment on that, and I've definitely got some questions about that. So I will say that, you know, just for the record, I mean, when you get names like Jihadi John and al-Baghdadi, you just have to ask yourself, how could that ever be taken serious? I mean, even it's, I remember the Barack Hussein Obama and then the Osama bin Laden. And then, you know, you get all of these names that sound so close to one another or sound so fictitious, you know, it's just kind of like a chagrin or a smack in the face to say, hey, this is all being orchestrated. And, you know, just like Jordan Maxwell used to always say, there's absolutely nothing that's being conducted in the political arena that is what it is. So we're smack dab in the middle of a proxy war. Where many factions are basically in a quarrel with one another, but then also just keeping up the same chaos and confusion that's been going on for what appears to be thousands of years on planet Earth, as the dualistic mindset and frequency is continuously confused and looking for someone to blame. And because it's of a hyperdimensional nature, that means that it's coming from many aspects. It's coming from within and without. It can be very confusing, especially for a person who doesn't have any kind of true connection with self. And today's show actually starts off with a bit of a disclaimer. And for those who are familiar with my shows in the past know that those shows that come with disclaimers are definitely adept level shows. So I would like to say that, you know, this time for some real critical thinking. This is not about worshiping anything. In fact, if you're looking to worship something, you're very far off of finding the truth. So I will suggest that you go back to things like the Code of the Matrix in order to wipe the slate clean of looking in the sky or in the ground or in some ancient book to find something to call upon to save you, because the only thing that you're really going to be able to truly count on and truly be able to identify as being a factual form of expansion is self. And then obviously you have your companions, which are, of course, me and many of the other individuals that give you lessons, maybe positive, maybe negative, that allow you to increase your stance and experience with yourself through experience. And experience, of course, trumps knowledge every time. You can't poke your head in a book every single day and expect that just what the book is saying is going to somehow equate to experience. It may give you a good outline of what's going on, but it's important for us to remember that the map is not the terrain itself. You will still need to make the journey, and there are things that you will encounter on the journey that may not be pointed out on the map. So do keep that in mind. The other thing is that I want to talk about how we can examine methods of stagnancy that the world has inherited for thousands of years, and how we can look into duality and through duality and those that weave the web of duality. Because remember, on the front door of the Bohemian Grove, it says, "Spiders, weave not thy web here." And that web has a lot to do with duality and confusion, chaos, etc. So we want to look deep into these methods of duality, but mainly through ancient sources to get a much more finite meaning, a meaning that's going to answer some big questions. Because, you know, there's those who tune into the show know that we're looking to get the major answers to what goes on in this experience, but not just get those answers, but also be able to apply the message to what we're dealing with in everyday life and allow that to begin to heal and to solve and to give us a greater clarity on who we are as beings. So this is what this is all about. But of course, you know, when you're digging into the subconscious, when you're digging into occult works, when you're digging into these things, it could get a little ugly in there. And it's because a lot of times we don't like to see the dark side of ourselves. We like to talk a lot about what we do great, but we're still somewhat clueless to our own endeavors that fuel and perpetuate the same amount, the same force that we complain about if it happens to someone that we know, someone that we care about, or even us. So it's important to really root out what's going on, how it's taking place, and then you can truly make a preference to what you desire. So I'll also say this show is for males and females alike, and it's also to realize your hyperdimensionality. This is not just about, okay, we're talking about women, okay, we're talking about men. And I've mentioned this several times, that the masculine and the feminine force are actually behind the eyes of what you would see as a male frog, male human, male monkey, whatever. And that force that's behind that particular vessel is what we're referring to when we talk about male and female. So we're not talking about specifically about the girl next door, your mother, the guy down the street. We're talking about the energies that inhabit the poles that they are stuck in at times, or that they are choosing to incarnate themselves in. And so that also means that there are many aspects of the war that's going on within and without. And that's why we have a hyperdimensional nature to this. It becomes very difficult to pin certain things down, because it's not just like, okay, I'm talking about the male, when if you have a female aspect within the same creation, you may get a little bit confused and say, well, I thought that this symbol, or I thought this particular animal meant a male symbol or a male animal. But we'll find that everything has been hybridized in a tinge, and everything contains portions of other things inside of it. But so it's then just about what is being chosen to be magnified. And that's exactly what polarity is and polarization is. It's the choice to magnify one thing over another and to not balance out those forces in order to begin to find either the neutral point or the fine blend of both, are often several integers, as we talked about last show. And also this show is about, this is how the world, because I only want to speak about our physical planet right now. I don't want to go off planet. But this is how the world is controlled behind the scenes. This is how the strings are really pulled. And it has a lot to do with male versus female, if you wanted to simplify it. So today what we're going to do really briefly is we're going to take the creation story itself and we're going to put it under a deeper scope, meaning we're going to take the popular story that's often told about how the world was created and some of the things that went on during that period that give us more of an idea, since this is a very popular book. I think the Bible has been ranked as the most popular book in the world because it does appear in more languages than any other book. It is present in more places. It's present in churches, jails, courthouses, homes all over the world. You name it, you will find these biblical texts. There are also supporting texts such as the Quran and many of the different Abrahamic traditions written in books, and even stemming back into Ab the Brahmin, which of course is Abraham, and his consort Saraswati, which of course is Sarah. So we find this same story being told over and over again. So we have to understand that that's a program that's consistently being emitted, that's being hosted in the minds of millions of people around the globe who are even willing to kill, hurt, prey upon anyone that does not believe in what they believe in. So this is a deeply embedded program that is affecting the hive. And so in order to also wean that infection out of us, we must also get the real understanding behind it. I mean, I call this the wilderness in a tense, the 40 days in the wilderness, where you need to know all the what's, the when's, the where, the why's, the W's, which are the zigzag. You need to figure your way out by zigzagging through the territory rather than finding the straight and direct path, because obviously if you knew that, then you would travel that immediately. And we know that that path now is definitely neutrality. But in order to find out where the neutral zone actually is, it feels like on the planet that we're in a tense forced to discover these things through contrast. We need to see both of the opposing forces, good, evil, white, black, hot, cold, etc., for us to be able to determine the gray, the warm, etc., so that way we can gain more bearing at how we need to position ourselves throughout this experience. So again, we're going to be taking the creation story and parts of it under a deeper scope in order to uncover a much more massive mystery about what exactly is happening with the polarity game. And as you see now, that there's a lot going on in politics. There's going to be a new election coming here soon. And the word politics has at its root poll, because they want you to choose either Democrat or Republican. They want you to make an oath as they take the oath of office. They want you to vote. That means that they want you to begin to make an oath, a pact, or a ritual, and they want to take you to the ballot, which of course is the term of a female god. They want you to take the ballots, and they want you to get all involved in something that is deeply religious and intense and deeply occult, because it does affect when you elect someone else to be your creator or your creator of your next level of your reality versus yourself. So it does affect your future. But if you choose to elect not to do that, if you become what is truly elect or a sovereign, and decide to opt out of it, you find that you're not as tied in to the karmic paths of many of the individuals that have signed their names on those papers. And another thing is that some are often convinced and pulled into politics because there's always a Ron Paul. There's always there's a new gentleman, and this is just how little I watch of it, but there's a new gentleman that's there that's similar to what Ron Paul was last year, or you know, with the last election, and it'll come to me in a moment. But it again shows that they want to draw in conscious people to play this game, that there's going to be a big change in the office and there's going to be revolution. But in fact, it's just another ploy to get you to sign your name on the dot, to get you to believe in something that has nothing to do with you, someone that you do not speak with, someone that you do have no control over whatsoever. And then that person more than likely loses, and I'm pretty sure we're probably going to see Hillary Clinton come into office, but you've already cast your vote and you've already gotten yourself involved and the energy has already been transferred. So definitely be aware of these things. So how deep this goes today, again, there was a disclaimer about, is so deep that it actually weaves itself into the fiber of our creation. It weaves itself into exactly how we exist on a day-to-day basis and our interactions often with one another. And the first part about this is to examine first that most, if not all, biblical texts and Abrahamic traditions have a masculine persuasion to them. So if we look at, of course, the Bible, there is few to any women that participate in major roles beside Ruth and Rahab and just a few of the women versus a whole list of male characters. Same thing we find even in cultures like Buddhism, to where in certain extents women are not even allowed to be monks. So it's safe to say that there has definitely been a purposeful off-balance system in place for thousands of years that has chosen to take the feminine, and this, of course, is the feminine pole and the feminine energy inside of you, and depress that or debase that, make it seem like it's not as useful and as powerful, and then incite another side of you, more of a masculine and a more of a dominant side, to take control over that other side of you. And of course, how that manifests in the reality is you can hear it's a man's world being played, and then you can also hear who runs the world, girls, being played. And in that, that is the tune in which the world has been stepping to for thousands of years. And I'm going to uncover it for you in a step-by-step method so it makes sense, even throughout many of the characters that you see pop up, not only in the biblical traditions, but also in the occult traditions, and how they've been given facelifts, if you want to use that term, facelifts, over time, to where they've been intensified to create more confusion and more conflict. So the first thing to look at is, in the Abrahamic tradition, but overall we'll go to the Bible since most people are familiar with that, who are the enemies in the Bible? Because this is the first time, if you analyze that question, that you'll begin to see this whole play going on. And obviously, the enemy in the Bible is the chief number one enemy is actually the devil, which is a term that came much later on than when this book was actually written. And before then, it was Satan, which came still later on. Before then, it was Lucifer, which was still later on. And before then, it was the snake. And so now we're starting to get closer to it. And then I'm going to show you how in this book, the snake actually is synonymous with the woman or the feminine force or feminine energy. So we find a scene that takes place. And in this scene, supposedly Eve takes some knowledge from the serpent and advice from the serpent, has this apple, which many say it wasn't even apple, it was a fig. There's big arguments about what kind of fruit it was. Offers this apple, which means knowledge somehow, to Adam, and this creates the fall of man. Okay, so this is like a hodgepodge of deeply encoded metaphoric symbolic messages. So we need to break down each character and see how they're all actually the same character. Of course, we have the apple. And for those in the occult or in the hidden knowledge, know that the apple, when you cut it in half, has a pentagram inside of it. And it's not just any pentagram. It's not the pentagram with the straight lines. It's actually the pentagram that forms the precession of Venus. Venus traces out this concave pentagram in the sky over a period of certain years. Then we find that this same pentagram, when you understand mathematics and you understand phi, connects into 72 degrees times 5, which is 360 degrees, which is called a perfect circle. And this perfect circle we witness throughout nature, that nature often creates every single time in this pattern known as phi. And this pattern is directly connected with a concave pentagram. So to say right off that this pentagram is evil, this concave pentagram is evil, doesn't even make any sense, because then we would have to agree at that point that nature is evil. But as you watch as the story metamorphosize, you'll see how actually nature does come under attack along with the divine feminine. And this is the creative force, and the creative force then comes under attack. But before we get ahead of ourselves, we should always see also that this apple is always synonymous with wisdom. As they say, you know, you give an apple to the teacher. The teacher is, of course, the one who's teaching. So this apple, in being synonymous with wisdom, also gives us another connection to this serpent, because the serpent is supposedly synonymous with wisdom. Of course, in the book it says, you know, you be as wise as snakes and as gentle as doves. So it even admits in the same book that serpents are supposedly really wise. And then if we want to look at it from an etymological level, we find that the word pentagram contains the word pent, which is the root and the root of the word serpent. Okay, so we find another connection. So then when we put it all into just what does it all mean, we find that actually what's being discussed here is creativity, or the ability to create. And this is a big thing, because if you look in a lot of the ancient traditions, even the Anunnaki tradition, supposedly this whole process of creation is actually forbidden. So then this connects us again to this forbidden fruit. It's forbidden to create, forbidden to be creative. Woman in this text, because it's synonymous with all of this, becomes something that's forbidden. And this is the stage that's actually being set, and it's going to play out for thousands of years in the future after this story is concocted and mixed up. So then we get another text that says, now the serpent was the most cunning beast of the field. So this is why now you see knowledge is then associated with something that is crafty or cunning. And this is why occult knowledge has always been also seen that way. And even deeper than that, we find that there's another demonization, because the mind starts to associate all of this. The mind already figures this out. It's like, okay, well, if this is the female, and this is also Venus, and this is the apple, and this is the serpent, it puts all of that into one category. And if that's all your creative force and creativity, because we need to ask ourselves, like, without the divine feminine, what will you really be dealing with? Well, first of all, you wouldn't be dealing with anything, because there would be no creativity. There would be only what some call just order. This is like a Presbyterian church or like a Catholic church, where the same thing is carried out every single week. Amen. I mean, you're about to go to sleep in there. There's no fancy colors going on. There's no creative forces except for the ones that they emulate from the divine feminine still, and then accredit to something that's masculine that can't even be considered as divine masculine. So we recap here. We find that Phi again is associated with the procession of Venus. Venus then is associated with the creative principle, because Venus is actually a portal. And for those who have been familiar with the geometry, it's also synonymous with the Visica. You see in paintings and drawings, Venus emerging from the clamshell. You find if you put two halves of Phi together, two Phi spirals together, it creates a heart sign. That heart sign is known as the symbol of Venus. So let's watch this, because you'll see how the play really is. And this is critical thinking, my friends. This is how you start to really look at things. Well, what's really going on here? What are the forces behind why we're actually unbalanced? And it's because it's not, well, it is. There is an attack on females overall in the world now, just as there is an attack on males. But this is also going on internally. We will internally attack on a subconscious level our creativity, because the zoomorphication of those energies, meaning that the animals that correspond to those same energies, the symbols that correspond to those same energies, the actions that correspond to the same energies, because it'll run across the board. It's hyperdimensional. We will blot out all of those meanings and put them in a category and say bad. And then when we do that, we literally lock out one side of our consciousness. And then that side of the consciousness actually grows dark. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break. Is we're going to talk about how the next move then, after all of this knowledge, because again, knowledge in the Bible, they only want you to read one book. There's even a scripture that says man's knowledge is foolishness to God, meaning that nothing that we can actually learn is even what God wants us to know. So there's a big dumbed down thing going on. And you, if anyone's ever experienced biblical and spiritual traditions, you find that you can't go outside and try to read something else. They want you to stick to what's there. And so these are all important points that I want everyone to analyze while we go to this break. You may want to just, you know, focus for a moment on what was said. See how all this ties in. Don't make an enemy for yourself. And then the last correspondence to this also is the fish, because the fish, just as a serpent, both contain scales. And many know that the eel, or the L, the electric one, has always been synonymous with what the transition between the serpent and the fish, or aquatic, versus the what walks upon land, the reptiles that walk upon land. So that's what's up. So this is a big thing. We're going through this step by step, because this is going to unlock some major mysteries for you about conflicts that are maybe going on in your household, maybe going on inside of you, and definitely are going on in the world at large. So that's what's up. So we're going to get into the invention then of the dark side of the creative character, also known as Lilith and the Lilithian force. And we're forward, and we're talking about the source of dualism. We're getting really deep about a metaphoric message within all Abrahamic traditions and biblical texts. And the demonization of the feminine or the creative force in order to exclude our consciousness from certain symbols that we would need to utilize within our own being and clear in order to find perfection within ourselves. Other than that, we would be under a constant conflict. And so what we're looking at is how many of the biblical stories, or in one in particular, actually is deeply encoded with symbols and is mentioning characters and rolling all those characters together. And that was, of course, Venus, the apple, the pentagram, the serpent, a fish, Phi, which we've connected to, and we're basically interpreting all of that. You know, it's heavy duty, tough work. So the next thing, though, is because we're now identifying that these are not characters then. There's not this snake that's walking upright. These are different stages. And in these stages, what we'll find is that there is another character that enters in, known as Lilith. And this is also the first time that you get a hint of something fishy, if you're really reading the text. Because you'll notice that Eve has always maintained this character of being subservient to Adam. And if you actually look through the book, you'll find that woman is encouraged throughout the book of the Bible to be subservient to man, that man is to be her God, and then man is to worship God, and that's the order. However, one woman, who's known as Lilith, comes across as not wanting to be a part of that. It says that Lilith refused to be on the bottom. Lilith states that she was created equal, had come from the same place Adam had come from. And for this, she's given this title of being this demon. And in fact, the cult tradition has continued to carry that on. And what I'm trying to show you today is that what these people are doing right now, and what they say all this stuff means, this is stuff that they, if anything, stole from ancient cultures, and they weren't privy to understanding the true meaning of it. Not to mention, you have dealt with a whole oligarchy that has mixed and twisted this entire story so that it produces nothing but confusions, enemies, devils, demons, all in the subconscious mind that will need to be unraveled before a person makes it out of the matrix. So if there's anything that's supposed to be all big and all bad and all ugly, it's definitely going to be something that needs to be effaced in the entire maxim of what I study and what many that are with me study, and that's all is self. And the faster that we can figure this out, the faster that we can graduate this university. So here we are. We find that when the woman actually doesn't want to be subservient and doesn't want to believe that she is not equal, she's given a demonic character known as Lilith. So these are the aspects. These are the characters that are created. But we all have to sit for one moment and admit, no woman, no creativity, no physical planes. And even though now that the world is all turned upside down, a lot of people are having a bad time here. So they're like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, no physical planes. That sounds like, you know, if someone created the physical plane, that's the person that I want to be upset at, because we're always looking for someone to blame. But it's this same imbalance, this same wanting to find someone to blame beside ourselves and wanting to change ourselves that has actually cooked up this nightmare, per se, that many are living in, but not everyone. So no woman, no creativity, no physicality, and it's basically going to be boring. So we need to see that also, as we're not talking about just specifically this female human that lives next door, is in your house, or that is you even if you're a woman. We're talking about that source that's inside of you. When that does not exist, have you ever seen someone that is over logical? That wants to explain everything through numbers? I mean, how long is it before you just go to sleep in one of those interactions? Because it's like, I mean, come on, like, where's the creativity? Where are the bright colors here? Where's the fun, right? Some even say, where's the magic? You know, magic begins with ma. So this is why the society has become so stale and so non-creative, because they've accepted these Abrahamic polarized traditions that are not even polarized to divine masculine, because some would equally jump on the other side and say, well, yeah, this is the God and the divine force. I mean, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about nothing but confusion. Just like the God says, I'm the author of confusion. Good and evil, I do both of those things. But instead of us blaming some external parasitic vampire God, we should look within ourselves and say, are you doing that? Are you creating good and evil? Of course. Are you out of balance? Of course, at times. Are you jealous? Some people are. So all these forces are present within us. As they say, resident evil, it's within us. And until we solve it, which is the symbol of the sun, the soul, that's the only time we will gain a soul. That's the only time we will fully experience our soul. So it gets deeper now. This starts to reveal an internal quarrel. Because if we go to the next book in the Quran, we'll find that it says, and we said unto the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam. And they fell and they prostrate all save Iblis, who's Lucifer. And now we find the connection, because unless you read all the books, see, I've read the Quran 2 times, 3 times. It's a lot easier to read than the Bible, because the Bible has numbers. With the book of Numbers, I mean, most people never make it through Numbers, but Numbers is where the entire encoded text is, because in Hebrew, the numbers are letters. So when you decipher the numbers, then you get the letters. So I read through the Bible 3 times on my advent into figuring out what was going on and what was going to happen to my soul. And in that, after the 3rd time, it began to unlock itself. And as I was connecting it with the Sidiopigrapha and the Apocrypha, the Qurans, the Bibles, the Jewish Bible, the complete Bible, the Torah, the Talmud, when you connect it all, you start to really see the big picture. But most people at best have read only 1 book, a couple of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which say the same thing over and over again with slight variations. So it's only until you actually dig deep into it, if it's your true passion, to figure out what's going on. And that's why, see, you'll find it anywhere. Anytime that you are persistent, you will find the truth. No matter what you penetrate, you will penetrate it with this beam that burns through everything and pierces illusions to show you the truth, whether you can handle it or not. And all of what I'm saying is that part of you can't handle the truth. You can't handle that there's this large portal docked left of our planet called Venus that is a processing center, if you may, for most of the organic life that lives here. And its precession and its mathematics connect into the creative principle. And that old serpent that they keep referring to is actually a reference to an old woman, at minimum, an androgynous creative force that has been demonized over a period of time because the action of creativity was forbidden by none other than the powers that keep running around trying to depopulate everything. It's the same story. For all we know, this story has only existed as long as you've been alive. You can't really reference any other points. This is the only time it's really important to dissect all this for what it really is. And so what we find is that this is where, for me, this is how this whole thing started for me. What I'm telling you today was actually this particular scenario right here where the angels are told to prostrate themselves before Adam and they fell and prostrated themselves, but Iblis didn't, Lucifer didn't. And what I was doing is I was in one of my deeper meditations and something said, hey, you remember that time? Because I know all of this stuff. It's like my memory when it comes to spiritual knowledge is impeccable. He said, remember that time that God told the angels to bow themselves down to Adam? And I said, yeah, I remember that. And he said, well, why do you think that could even occur if this same God had told every single being that he had ever supposedly created to never bow down and worship anything beside itself? I said, you know, that's interesting because the God is a jealous God. And God tells everyone never to bow down to anything else. So for all you know, how do these beings know that they weren't even like being tested by God since God already always tests people? You see how confusing this is? And this is what people claim as their faith. This is how they profess their faith with something that leaves their mind confused. Because the subconscious mind, it picks all of this up. Subconscious mind knows everyone that you went to kindergarten with. People that you don't even remember their face anymore. The subconscious mind will pull them up and put them in a dream and you'll be sitting there again with them. It never forgets. So it knows all of this because it's got all access. It's just, it can process so much more than this side of the brain that we're being forced to use because we've demonized the creative force inside of our consciousness. And so we've locked ourselves out of the creativity. That's why few people invent anything. You got the same old scriptures going on. Nobody's looking deeper into this. Nobody's raising any questions because, shit, if you try to challenge a being that never shows up and never responds, how can you win? If you say, well, why would God tell the angels to bow down to an image of himself? Think about this. Like, Adam was created in God's image, if we're going along with this story. So not only are the angels told to bow down, they're told to bow down to a fake or false replica, an idol, if you may. All this just stinks to high heaven or high hell, depending on the direction that you're going. None of this makes sense. You know, when you read it and as an adept and you look at it, you say, well, whoa, something else must be going on here. So who's Iblis? Who's Lucifer? So when you go back into history, you'll find that Lucifer or Falciforus is actually depicted as a woman, not a male. Like I said, all of these new texts coming out with these people selling $40,000 books on witchcraft and they can't even get a few dollars. These people live dirty, think dirty, talk dirty. They can't do anything from a clear space, but they're supposed to know what's going on. And they're interpreting things the way that they see, the chakras that they're seeing from, and never realizing that this Lucifer, that serpent, also known as Venus, Falciforus, that morning star, creating through Phi or that pentagram is all the same thing. It's just every time it's brought up as another character, oh, it's Lila. Eve means night. Good evening. These are all the same characters, just in different aspects. And then they're just hammering you with several characters so that you can hate. So even if you like two of them, you're going to hate five of them. And there you are, polarized. So as we see here in the text, what's really being said is woman was asked to bow down before Adam and she refused to. But all of the other angels or the angels or actually the animals, which you'll see here in a moment, they did. And they became subservient to Adam. And now many of them live in this world today under the yoke of Adam, who kills them, eats them, and does whatever he really wants with them because of buying into this hyper-dimensional falsehood. That's how deep this goes. So what we find is that there's a battle going on, like I said, between the divine masculine, excuse me, let me correct myself here, between the corrupt masculine and the corrupt feminine. This is the battle, and it's trying to hide itself as the divine masculine and the divine feminine when it's all been misinterpreted. And if you look at all these scriptures and you look at this, you'll see how it goes. So let's keep going here. So as I said, why does God ask the angels and Lucifer to bow down to his own image? It doesn't even make any sense, especially since he's a jealous God. And he just gave the command not to bow down to anything beside him, which you'll find in the book. So we find that Lucifer, as these people that have at least halfway figured out, is a code name for Venus. If we understand Venus's real origins, we know that is a portal. But we also know, if you look into enough text, that Venus has always been associated with something serpentine. As they say, the Medusa, snakes in her head. You find it's always associated with something of a pentagram because it's literally tracing that out in the sky. You just need to know astronomy, not astrology, not symbolism, not occultism, to know that. To know where that symbol comes from. But see, it's occultism which wants to make it hidden to what its true meaning is. And its true meaning is that that's the portal. If we want to know how all this takes place, there's no poof. See, this, whoever's writing this book believes in the poof. And God said poof and it was good. No, 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 no. There's a whole procedure that goes on. There's courtship. There's a dance. There's an inception, there's a conception, there's an abortion. There's all of these different processes that go on before poof. So anyone that's trying to tell you things just poof, they're hiding the knowledge of how that it all comes to be. How do you really create? But the issue is here is that woman or the divine feminine doesn't have to ask that question. It's hard-coded. Woman creates. Women don't have to say, well, I wonder how I bring this baby through 9 months. I wonder if I'm doing everything right. Like, it's all on auto. The best thing you could do, maybe take some prenatal vitamins or whatever. Other than that, women birth naturally. So there's no need to go and try to find out the whole meaning and behind creation and how it's done when you're sitting on a womb and you have a womb in your body. And I had another text that I actually closed because I didn't think it was relevant, but now I see how relevant it was. And it was because if you read the text about the king of Tyre, which is supposedly Lucifer and Satan, and you go through it, you find that it actually mentions that if you take the word king and make it queen, which is its real word, kahin meaning an androgyn being, you'll find that what's mentioned is that this being was had a creative force already endowed within it. So this is how it gives you more insight to this is the divine feminine we're talking about, because it already has the creative force. So we keep going here. So it's clearly stated, as we talked about earlier, that woman is supposed to serve this husband. So what it's saying is that your left side of the brain is supposed to serve the right side of the brain. And when you do that, and, you know, I may be getting my hemispheres, but I'm just saying the imbalance. One side of the brain is supposed to serve the other side of the brain. And then when you create these imbalances, you're imbalanced and polarized. And then you interpret every single thing that you see, read, or hear through that polarity, not as it really is. And the more that you become balanced, then you start to solve all these riddles. These are all riddles. This is why it takes so much to get through this. You must know every single correspondence in order to undo it. Once you learn, you must unlearn. Once somebody teaches all that occult stuff to you, and then now you've got all these symbols and characters in different categories, someone's got to come and collapse them all back like Russian dolls and show you all itself. These are all the same characters, at best just going through different phases. So we're learning now to look deeper into even the dualistic energies in order to look deeper within ourselves. So we have this snake who lives in a hole. Snakes live in holes. That hole is the womb. Snakes crawl upon the ground. That is their domain. Their earth. And then, you know, what makes this so interesting is because even if, you know, for some that are misinterpreting, they say, well, are you saying females are snakes? Well, is it not in every single ancient book of tradition about not only the Naga, but also just the embodiment of the cosmic serpent being itself a female? Like, we can agree with that, but when we take it directly and say the divine feminine force is a concave visica portal, Because the ancient book says, if you ever see the gods, they appear as the genitals. And when I read that, I was like, man, what does that even mean? I don't get that. That was years and years ago. But after I started studying deep and looking at the geometry, I said, okay, here's the symbol of power. It's a circle and a concave, visica. And that gives us an eye, a human eye, a circle, and then that visica. If we draw it, it's a human eye. And it's because those are the two forces that were used to create these physical bodies. Bing, done, next lesson. Or do I got to sit here and pull it all apart? Do I got to show you that lions have circular eyes and snakes have visica eyes? Do I got to show you that if we didn't think that they could be put together, then all we need to do is look at the cat? Because it's a mixture of a snake and a feline or a lion. Do we not see that these same forces that are manifesting themselves in the world today, whether it's ISIS and this time attempting to become the degraded version of the snake? And then you got the old eagle, old bald head eagle, which is America. And then you got that old cowardly lion, Britain. And they are demoralized versions of these great beings. You see what I mean? So I'm not here to tell you the snake's evil. I'm not here to tell you that the eagle is evil. I'm not here to tell you the lion's evil. What I'm telling you is that you got some imposters out here. And when they try to emulate the great lion, you know, you see the great lion all throughout Kemet. You see the Rastafarian lion. You see the great divine masculine. And then you see this old bald lion that can't even come out and admit its faults. With old toothless lion who will sit back and push buttons on you all day but never will walk across the battlefield. We see this eagle, this old bald-headed eagle, wants to put the symbol everywhere as if it's as noble as the one who flies across the sky. Right? That word should be changed to ego, because that's all it's about. It's just who's got the biggest balls, I guess. And then you watch these forces who are corrupted themselves, the snake, the eagle, and the lion, in their corruptive forms, fighting each other for space. The eagle trying to reign over the sky, but also on the ground, trying to reign on the ground. The lion prowling around, trying to find the snake trying to guard its hole, the snake trying to get wings, the lion's trying to get wings, the eagle's trying to pull them off. You see, that's the zoomorphication. If you take every single animal, which is in the DNA, you will find every single correspondence to what is going on inside of us. You'll find the essence of our attitudes and our struggle. This struggle for a domain in a space. Some place, as we say, to call home. This is mine. Instead of sharing it. Instead of realizing that, hey, you know, we got all this DNA. So all of us are connected with each other. So look at that in society today. And then you'll see these animals, just like it was saying in one of the texts, you know, Daniel's vision. You know, I saw he had the face of a lion and the leg of an ox. And, you know, they're telling you that this is the zoomorphication of these beings in their corruptive form. And they've joined themselves together in some league. And then they're all fighting one another as they're trying to create they're trying to create. That's exactly the statement. They've X'd out the divine feminine because they don't have that creativity. That's why they steal the creativity from everyone else. They steal other people's ideas. You see? They use other people's ideas and corrupt those ideas. They take other people's texts, take other people's signet rings, sign for other people, say that these people did this. They didn't have nothing to do with that. But then what they did have to do with, they say that that's what they did. You see? It's all mixed up. And this is going on inside of you, though, because each person in maybe hearing the conversation will try to run outside of themselves and find someone to blame for this. But it's going on inside. Each person is doing it to the percentage that is creating this force that's outside of us that is now magnifying itself because it has everyone involved in it. So the next part of this, before we get into questions, because we're about at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about polarization versus multidimensionality. And we're going to talk about how you definitely still contain that female and the male, but even more important, we're going to talk about the moon and how to transcend the first level on the ladder and how you can connect what's going on inside of your consciousness with your actual progression through the cosmos. Because some men wonder, well, how do I get out of the body? Like, all this stuff is real. You can really get out of the body, but you can also be trapped in the body. So how does one make those transitions? By beginning to tweak these zoomorphized energies that are inside of themselves still crawling because they're in the animal body. And the animal body needs the superior form to come in and show it. Hey, this is what this all means. This is who this all is. You're fighting yourself here. Every time you find another enemy, you've only found another enemy within. You have to find the solution. And the reason why I say you have to do that is because this is for you. This is not for anyone else. The only way that you're going to see this throughout infinity is if you start to eliminate all these enemies for yourself and in your subconscious mind. Because the more darkness you throw over it, great Lucifer, and now bowing down. I mean, what are you doing? That's trapped in perfection. How is a God going to bow down to itself? You see, so you're watching all this happening and you're seeing all the confusion it's creating. So if there was something going on right out here, or if anything, it's going right and not left too, so that it has balance. You see, so it's all trickery. He's like, oh yeah, do what's right. Well, what about what's left? What about that side? Oh, that's the demonized side. That's the left-hand path. You see, so every time, especially in this language, it triggers. And it's, oh, stay away from that. Oh, stay out of that side of the brain. Don't be creative. Look, don't reinvent this. Go ahead and do what everyone else is doing. You'll find those connections. So when we come forward, we're going to talk about how to get out of all of that, how to release yourself.
Initiating the Truth Frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
We're forward and we're talking about the source of dualism, and we're getting deep into this. We're collapsing a lot of the concepts behind what exactly symbolism means, what exactly many of the characters in the Bible mean, especially the centralized characters that are most prominent in affecting the consciousness of those who believe in those traditions, or also have family members that believe in these traditions. And we're also talking about beginning to collapse a lot of the concepts that have been keeping us from progressing beyond into a much greater stage of our reality. And this stage itself is, it really exists. And as I talked about before, is that, you know, you got a lot going on where there's a lot of what we call vain resuscitation. This is people who have read things and they just repeat things, read things, repeat things. And they're just sitting at home on their couch. They can judge others, they can say things about others, but they never had a spiritual experience. They won't even step into the ayahuasca or the jihuasca, as we talk about. They won't sit in any meditations. They won't see the power of breathing. But yet, They'll swear all of it is just a part of a new paradigm, but never have tried anything themselves. And so thus, that's kind of like the definition of being stuck. Because if you're just going to let this whole thing play out with you in it, that's what I call that one has actually lost their soul. Meaning they've lost the actual power within themselves that creates the light. The soul, again, is synonymous with the sun. It brings light. It brings creativity. It knows what to do with darkness. And that's why, you know, this is not about saying which one is good and which one is bad, because as the adept knows what to do with the darkness, it knows that, oh, darkness, oh, that's fertility. I can shine on that, bring new knowledge to it, which is to fertilize it, and then watch it grow into something. That's what the womb is. The womb is, it's dark in there, but something is growing, and then we'll emerge from it and come into the light. And this is the same thing that we're doing on the planet. The planet is a womb. It's closed off. There's a bubble around it. But many will emerge from this if they learn their lessons in the university or in this particular planetary system. But you can remain here infinitely. If you enjoy the ride and you like what's going, you like being dumb in a tense to come into a world, you don't know how, if you don't know how you got here before, how the heck are you going to know when you leave out of here, when you come up again, that you were even here before? So if all of your experience, including your mother, your father, your children, your friends, if all those experiences are meaningless, then you can carry on with that kind of buffoonery because you'll forget it all anyway. It's like it doesn't have any meaning. See, this is what really got to me, is because no matter how much I enjoy myself, you know, if I'm with my daughter, if I'm with my wife, or, you know, whatever I'm doing, if I'm not going to continue with those memories, if I can't retain those memories, then it's all meaningless. So this is what pushed me personally into discovering what goes on beyond this. You don't wait until you get on the deathbed to try to figure out what's going to happen next. The flesh dies daily, meaning you can actually take yourself through the rebirthing process of your frequency. There's no such thing as time here, people. There's only octaves. And this is why when you get into the really bad mood and then you start seeing the reality morph around you, or you go in one of those crazy dreams, or when you're in a really great mood and you're feeling loved and you arrive into some cotton balls and clouds in your sleep, you know, you feel great. You even, you say hello to people. It's like you're in the bad mood. You know, you're beeping people and trying to drive all around mad, pissed off. You know, someone gives you something to be happy about, and you're like, hey, what's going on today? And it's even the male person look at you all crazy, like, oh, man, you definitely an emo. You just emotionally unbalanced here, because yesterday you wouldn't, you know, you were cussing at me. Now today you're saying hello. And this is what it is like dealing with most people. You just got to try to catch them in their right portion of their cycle to get a good response from them. Why? Because they're going through phases. They're still locked into what the moon is doing. And this is not another David Icke story, because I keep hearing people try to explain, well, what the moon is, because that thing keeps coming up. The question keeps coming up. And we've answered this for years of what's going on with the moon as a receptacle and an actual celestial body that does hold memories. But we're going to go a step deeper tonight about talking about the process of when one can escape the gravitational pull of the moon, because it's the first vault on the ladder of lights. It's the first actual step on the ladder of lights. And what the ladder of lights is in deeper spiritual traditions is, it talks about how you have to go through every single planetary system in order to make it back to the source, which is all synonymous with going back through the planetary systems to make it to the sun, known as the source. And then you go through the sun. And then once you arrive on the other side, now you're in the subjective plane. This is a plane that is not divided. This is A, B, C. This is simple stuff. If people don't, it didn't spend so much of their time loading themselves up with so much of this Warner Brothers Transformers and all the rest of what they feed themselves, cheeseburgers and all this kind of stuff. This stuff is like, okay, I'm a quick study. Get on to the next thing. This stuff is not hard to learn. Once I ascend the moon, when I make it past Hanuman or the monkey mind, some people say, well, what am I talking about? Okay, well, the earth is a body, if you didn't notice. It's alive. So it's the it's ground zero. So the next stage on this ladder is the moon. In the Hindu traditions, in the Eastern traditions, they talk about climbing through the vaults. This is also synonymous with Kundalini climbing up your spine, and synonymous with you also making a projection through the celestial body. So the first one you deal with is the moon. And most people never make it beyond the moon. That's why the moon is also always been synonymous with the Lord. Right? Go look at it in text. The moon is known as the Lord. The moon has been given several names. It's been male sometimes, female sometimes. Nanar Sin was the name of the moon in the Sumerian times. And but again, the reason why people never get beyond it is because they're always bowing down to it. But it's not necessarily a symbolic gesture like they're bowing down to the Lord, even though some people are caught up in that. Hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions of people, are caught up in that. But there's also the bowing down or the prostration of consciousness to where one can't get beyond all the stories and all the memories that are encased within the moon. And this is known as the monkey mind. It's actually the part of the brain, because remember, it's hyperdimensional. This is metaphysics. As above, so below. There's a correspondence within every single thing that you're dealing with of what we're talking about. So Hanuman, you take A-N out of it, it spells human. Because all of these different entities, if you understand the Bhagavad Gita's, all these different entities were different aspects of yourself. And that's why and you see these Hindu charts, in each chakra, there's this God there. And they're not saying that, oh, that's, oh, Lord Saraswati, go ahead, or oh, Lord Shiva, you're supposed to bow down. That's not what any of the original texts said. They said that when you're rising through your chakras, when your Kundalini is coming through these chakras, you're going to face this. You're going to face the positive side and the negative side, because it's a wheel and it spins. And then you're going to be responsible for balancing it out in order to overcome, to transcend, so that way the Kundalini can move into the next chakra. But if you stay stuck at, as we talked about last week, Baal, the moon, Baal Peor, right? If you stay stuck at the moon, and this is because the people who only deal with their mind, the monkey mind, they're just all logical. They're just trying to look for the logical explanation of all this when this is wet work. Trying to do all this, what I just did in this conversation with a logical mind, you would have never connected that the serpent and the pentagram were actually the same thing. Like all these beings being created from a coil, which is phi. You would never understood that when the coil winds itself up and it unleashes itself, that's Kundalini. And the spring from that force can either thrust you deeper into oblivion or actually propel you through the galaxy. And they call that riding the dragon. And yet, many people are just still yet to get it. They think that it's all a joke. But yet, when it comes time to discover if Iron Man is going to start up a new Stark facility, then they're going to tell you that's going to happen in 2014 or 2015 or whenever. And that information is non-relevant. But yet, all the ancient knowledge is hidden. I mean, do you even understand that there was no hieroglyphs on the pyramids or anywhere written in up in Lower Egypt, which is known as the underworld? Before these people, the same ones who are creating all these secret societies, went and chiseled all that confusion there? And they're going to tell you that you can decipher it through Rosetta Stone? People know hieroglyphics. None. But yet, in any of these secret societies, you see all this stuff all on the walls, you see all these hieroglyphs. It only has an appeal that it's something mysterious going on, that's something that needs to be figured out. But everything that needs to be figured out is actually inside of you. All that's going to do is do what it says in the text that God did, which was confuse everyone through languages and tongues. Now it's symbolism. Because that's the monkey mind. So the interesting part about it is it's like almost like the planet of the apes. You find Hanuman won't let the body go. So when the spirit tries to transcend, this is what I'm explaining to you, it has to let go. This is the real meaning of surrender. It's not that you go and bow down to some parasitic entity, hyperdimensional life form, probably alien gray AWAS. It's not that. It's that you let it go. Because if you can't stop your mind, if you can't stop Hanuman from thinking, it's got your mind in a clutch. And anyone that knows anything about how to propel and project yourself beyond the body knows that once the mind kicks in, you can't get out of the body. It's engaged. This is like trying to come out of I'm trying to find a good explanation here, but it's throwing, trying to come out of something that's already engaged. You need to stop it, then disengage it, and then not re-engage it. So I'll give a secret today, because, you know, I'm always profusely giving secrets. Like sometimes, you know, when I just listen to some of the stuff that's going on out here and what people are saying, man, it really gets to me, only in the tense to where, when are we going to get to the real knowledge here? Like, when is somebody going to come and drop a gem that says, hey, this is how you overcome this? You want to know how to overcome fear? Close your sphincter. Your sphincter muscle, which is where what you call your anus, is where fear comes from. It goes into the body. See, those are not your thoughts. That's why anytime you study into deep traditions, the first thing that they're going to teach you when you're dealing with Kundalini is like the bandhas. That's like the first thing. It's like, you know the bandhas? No. Okay, well, shoot, man. I mean, are you sure you want to learn about this? Because you're not even going to be able to charge up because you can't close your sphincter. Your sphincter is so loose that any energy that is coming in there, when you start building Kundalini, you'll notice it gets hot underneath you. You feel heat coming from that area. And so if you don't close it and then allow the Kundalini to build up, what it does is it pulls things in like a vapor. And because of what that part of the body corresponds to, that's bowel, that's the moon, it's going to pull in all this fear. That's the monkey mind. It's going to then start roaming through logic like, man, am I going to die? Because it's afraid of death. It's afraid to die because it's already dead. This is the whole paradox of the whole thing. Because it's afraid of death, it's already died. It's accepted that death is real. This is what logic is. This is why it's so boring. This is why it's gray. So what happens is that if you close the sphincter, you'll notice when you're starting to experience all these fears around this transition process, because you're now about to go into something that you never dealt with before. So remember what we talked about in the whole conversation. The creative force, which we've been blocked off from most of the time thinking it's evil, now you're about to go into the creative zone. You're about to go into the area that you've never seen before. And that just spells fear for all of the programming that has been put into our consciousness. That fear is in the moon. That's why the moon works in these phases. It constantly keeps, it's never balanced. The moon is never balanced for a day, for a moment. It always has its phases, and that's what the mind is. It's never balanced for a moment. It's either talking about somebody in a negative way, saying they're not, this is not what I want, judging all the time. The moon is the Lord that's judging. That's why I say, oh, the judgment, let the Lord judge. That's the moon. But we're talking about it's you, though. It's your part of your consciousness that chooses to go judge one thing over the other rather than harmonizing it and figuring out the meaning of it. Any real creator is going to know where all this stuff really goes. Do you think that the creator decided that the sun was too hot so that it wouldn't put it on a planet, or uranium was too dangerous? You see what I mean? You got to know what all this stuff does, and you have to have that ability to be right in the face of it. But know that, hey, I'm looking at myself. And do you know how difficult that is? Well, most don't, because they're still not having any real spiritual experiences. They're in these books. And that's why the books, you know, they're rectangles. Look at them. They're just doors. They're doors that lead down into more portals into the maze. Not out. Only experience leads you out. Even what I'm saying today, you still have to hit the switch. You can listen to all this. It may be entertaining, but it's still going to be you in there dealing with Hanuman. It's still going to be you in there dealing with your monkey mind when you're ready to judge the person that pissed you off last night, or the one that you still keep holding grudges with, or this politician, or this police officer, or whoever it is. Right? All the way till you die. Now, this is what happens, though. Because since you're playing around in a Saturnalian sphere, and there's nothing but time going on here, and time runs out, what happens, because the Kundalini has an energetic potential, it's coiled like a clock. You only have a certain time to really begin to unravel it properly because of its energetic potential. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about many people get to their deathbed and they're in pain. Because this Kundalini is now wants to make its journey, this cosmic whatever you want to call it, wants to make its journey, but Hanuman doesn't want to let it go. The monkey mind is all in fear. It's like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? My body's failing me. I'm about to die. But I can't leave because if I go there, then who's going to get me? It's going to be, and then subconscious kicks in, the devil. And this is what I was saying that begins to activate this reincarnation process of looping you and putting you right back into the same system that you were in before. You don't become a professional reincarnator. You don't become a time lord. You become fodder. You become a recycled soul that comes back into the planet in as much soul force as you have left. If you haven't debased yourself too much, then that gets filled into the vessel, whether it's a cat, whether it's a snake, whether it's a bird, or whether it's an insect. You fill that vessel, and then you live out that existence just as oblivious to what you were before as you're doing right now. And that's how serious it is. But yet, some think it's a game. They think it's a joke. So let you be the only one then, if that has to be the case, that actually takes all this serious and realizes that, yeah, it is up to me. Because if I'm in time, I already know that I need to get my stuff together. Because I don't deal with time. I hang out outside of time. Time is not relevant to me. And if you can't say that with a straight face and know that that's true because you've overcame, just like what Dan Winter was saying, at the end of all of this, you will face that grim reaper, that force, that inhabits the wormhole, that attempts to suck you back in. And if you don't know how to close your banda, if you don't know how to close the bandas and to close your sphincter, because you've been doing that on a consistent basis in order to keep fear away from you because you have no fear. And it's as simple as that. Like, don't be thinking, how am I going to overcome fear? Now you're in a trap because now you've activated the monkey mind again. You just close the banda and watch yourself power up. And then watch all of what you think is that you have to fear burn up. And then watch that globe appear over your head. It's not a halo. It's an actual sphere. And you feel the sphere and you see the light. And this is like in your own consciousness. With your eyes closed, you see light. And, you know, this is not something that's fictitious, my friends. I don't have time to be sitting here, but I could go do a lot of stuff. I don't just have spiritual knowledge. I'm equal-handed in all of these arenas, whether it's technology, whether it's the internet, whatever. I could go do that. So I wouldn't have time to be keep fabricating and making fictitious stories. I'm telling you that this right here, this is running the gauntlet and achieving the greatest thing. And even though they've rolled all this stuff up, you got all these people they get on and they, you know, they talk about, but it's always the same thing. Look at what we've done for 6 consistent years. We've always kept, here's what this means, but this is now more to it. This is because I'm on the experience. I'm on the quest. 11:11 at 11 p.m. It was 11 on 11:11 at 11:11 p.m. I had already transcended the plane again. And I didn't even try to make it happen. It just lined itself up. And next thing you know, I'm right in the face of it. And hey, did you ever remember when it said here, because see, there's things that I still have to undo. I still have to unlearn. So I'm here to walk everyone through also the same process that I'm going through of unlearning the madness. But you got to go into the wilderness. You have to, in a sense, get lost in it to actually find yourself. We are the navigators of this. And so by all means, let us have some compassion. That's the compass to Zion. Have that compassion to be able to come forward with those experiences and tell them to people and say, hey, this is what you're experiencing. This is how you nullify fear with sorrow. You don't want to be here when watching your mother die and your child die or people dying around you and you're still clueless to what's going on. But yet you're one of the only people in your biorhythm that's capable of knowing what's going to happen next. And then you're still not going all the way because you're in some kind of fear that you're going to die. Anything that is the truth will be wherever you're going. And anything that is false will fade away like the illusion. Truth will always stand. And see, we recite these things like mantras, but do we really believe them? Because to really believe them is to believe in ourselves. And that's what we're talking about here. So it can be all casual. You know, we can talk about all these other different topics, but you know, what is really important? You know, do I want to talk about a Paris bombing? Like, what am I going to do about it? You know, what if I'm in there? That's when I'm going to be standing in front of myself, not my maker. I make myself. I'm unbegotten. It's in math. This is not just someone that's got that's an egomaniac. We didn't come from anywhere. That's the conundrum of the entire thing. That's the limit of all this knowledge and confusion behind the language. The language is designed to try to prove where something comes from, and it becomes null and void because we come from nothing. And yet that boggles the mind. It gives the one that wants to be logical no ground to stand on, but you must fly. That's when you activate one of these other aspects of self, all is self, that is capable of dealing with when there's no ground. But if you want to remain grounded, if you want to remain on the surface of things, like you don't want to go deep, right? You don't want to go deep into yourself, into your subconscious, to raise up and to go deep into your roots to figure out where are you from. You can't say you're from nowhere until you actually go through all those other places that are somewhere, meaning all of these aspects, these, as they say, this 360 degrees, the arcs you go through, even if it's the archons, even if it's the entities, whatever it is, but you're not going and prostrating yourself because you're a creative force. You don't need any gods. You are beyond gods. So you see where how all this connects? It just says, this text says, hey, you're not creative. Hey, how does a child of God, which it says, not realize that they are God? I mean, if I'm a child of my parents, am I not human? Of course. But as I said, the master drive and the slave drive, which are in computers, are exactly the same for how they're hooked up and how their connections. And I'm telling you, your connection, it has to be trained and tuned in to self. You must learn the focus. To focus, to not get distracted by, oh, let me go back off to monkey mind land or monkey land and let me go think about how I'm going to just, you know, I think to me personally, you know, as a joke, sending monkeys to the moon has to be the real symbolic symbol of the end of time. Because finally, the correspondences have made it to themselves. And if you understand the animal story, which we don't have time to talk because we're going to answer some questions here, so when we come back from the break. But if you understand the animal story, or understand, as I always say, they have a story too. So these are souls. Do you know how big the soul is within a whale? Does it even matter to you? Or is it more important to figure out the cheat code to the next Call of Duty? You see what I mean? So this is where your priorities, and that's why I say sometimes, except for old souls, it takes, you know, some years for the being to begin to understand. That's why you find wise men are generally old. Wise women are generally old. And it's because it's only at that point that it starts dawning on you as you start losing a few people and you start losing parts of your consciousness and you start seeing life as really real. Other than that, you think you have all this time to play, but yet you should be on this now. This doesn't come overnight. This is years. I started this when I was a little kid. You know, reading these spiritual books, trying to figure out heads and tails. And it took me till 30 something to start putting it all together because I was fighting so much of the disinformation and the conviction and the guilt in real MK Ultra and programming that's put into a person's consciousness when they really try to escape. But see, the ones that want to play, the ones who want to talk about mayonnaise and sandwiches, when it's time to talk about the destination of your soul, those are the ones that have already lost their soul. And the only way to get it back is to get real with yourself. And until that becomes important, life will continue to coast on. This is billions of years here, baby. Like, don't think that the planet's going anywhere. Rocks are hard. Your head will bust before that rock does. So we have to realize that it's still for us to step into this. And those that are around us, that's why I say isolation sometimes is the best thing. If you got people around you just distracting you, throwing you back into unsovereignty, telling you that everything that you know is a bunch of hogwash, distracting you with other things that mean nothing. It means that they are, I mean, shit, what happened to them? They're already taken. That's not them. See, the reason why you can say that they may be soulless or they may be taken is because that's not them. Shoot, this is not me. You're not you. If you understand the real magnitude of what we exist as beings, this ain't me. We're yet to see that. Planet can't hold that. right, we're going to be wrapping it up here by getting to some of the questions that were asked. And for those who are just tuning in or tuned in for the first time, you can actually submit your questions at astroquest.com/ask, and you can get answers to those questions. And for those that have listened to the show before, they know that we have a great range, so we never talk about the same thing over and over again because there is much to cover in this process of our expansion. So we're going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and start with the first question since we have about 30 minutes left, and I'm just going to breeze through through these because they're not as complex as it tends to answering, but it may be some real work that needs to be done in order for those who've asked these questions to achieve some of the responses. So we want to give the time allotted for that. So the first question is, because of the vile profiteering and power mongering that will need to cease, is there eventually going to be a disastrous physical war over all this unveiling? Okay. And this, of course, is a reference to all of the consciousness that is coming forth now with us figuring out things. And I would say this. If you've been studying enough or just looking at the messages that we've been sharing overall, and there's many networks that are out there giving information, and you listen to something like CNN now, it's almost comical. You can see all of the hook, line, and sinker and the Hegelian dialect, et cetera, going on, and it's so easy for you to point out. But 10 years ago, let's say, you know, just to use a time frame, when you look at it, it may not have appeared that way. You may actually be glued to the TV looking at the towers like, oh, my goodness, they took the towers down and it's Bin Laden and et cetera. So except for people who have been dealing with this for years. So what I'm saying is that there is a process that's happening now, of people coming into an awakening of what's been going on for a long time. However, if you still do the numbers, because you have so many, you know, people that are just trolling, they just troll all the time. They only send just disinformation or discouragement, or, you know, they just always throw in their sentences and their words that discourage others from attempting to grasp the message and begin to go on with it. You'll still find that it's only 1%. In most cases, if not 1% of 1%. So I say this, is that there are physical wars going on over what the society deems as the most important topics, such as land grabbing and culture shifting. And this is what we're actually finding going on. So it hasn't got into, you know, how much do you really understand about the hyperdimensionality of our consciousness and the expansion into that, like for real, not just talking about it or not just imagining it's going on with, you know, Sister Betty and the rest of the light workers. It's about, you know, all of that knowledge and information is not even, you know, coming as logical to people at this point, or that it doesn't seem to have any reason to 99% of people. But, and on top of that, excuse me, most people are into some kind of religious structure, religious system that prevents them from listening to a message like this. So when it comes to disclosures of high levels of spiritual knowledge, for the most part, only 1%. Of 1% of the people on the planet actually even find that information useful or even understandable. So let's just put it like that, because you can still say that a lot of this information, until you figure out that this is understanding, this is how it applies to you. It doesn't matter to how it applies to everything around you, because everything around you responds to your frequency. Until you come into the full awareness of that, you'll always be looking for more or less the external meaning to things. So that's what I have to say to answer that question, is that there's already a lot of fallout, physical war, and disasters going on around land grabbing and culture shifting, which is up into the 60 to 70% as being more important than things like, how are you going to progress beyond when you die? The next thing is that the question here is, so for the past year, my boyfriend has been trying to get me to go into the spiritual side of myself. And I guess I'm not completely understanding where to start. I don't know how to completely grasp finding myself in myself or understand how humans came to this planet. Is that from our spirit? And could you give me some clarification? As a beginner, I need some direction, please. And what I always recommend is that a person first begin with the strongest aspect of self. And we divide self into three parts just to make it a little bit more clearer and easier to understand that. And that's, of course, mind, body, and soul. And we find that the body has taken the most damage. The body can hamper any kind of spiritual conceptualization and any kind of mental epiphanies if it is completely toxic. So that way, you know, anything that it intakes, it only perceives through its toxification. And so what we'll find is that if the body doesn't have a good vibration, which is accomplished by cleaning out chakras. Chakras are attached to organs. So you clean your liver, you clean your bowels, you know, you get all the mucoid plaque from around your intestines. And that's when you participate in cleansing. And of course, you can go to the website and you can find plenty of things to do that. Or you can go onto the internet, you can research internal cleansing, and you can start getting yourself on the path of total realization. Because we don't personally, and again, this message has been transmitting for years, we don't believe in just taking in information. The information comes as like the icing on the cake, because that's when you can actually see through and see clearly through this. First, you need to address your body. You need to address your diet, because those are the things that are going to hold you back the most, because you're not going to be able to experience some level of consciousness with toothpaste from 1980 still stuck within one part of your body, or, you know, metals, heavy metals from the air that we're breathing and smoke that's coming out of the back of these cars. Like, this is real stuff. This is not new age. This is not fabrication. This is none of that. You go put your mouth onto the back of a car and you breathe that for 10 minutes and you tell me how you feel after that. You basically almost die. So you're breathing this stuff every day. It's getting these metals in your body. It's getting it all in the lungs, all in the intestines. And this is the engineering that's happening. And so when you remove a lot of that, then you get into this quote unquote, if you want to give it that term, spiritual side of yourself, which is basically a more clear side of yourself to where you can really see what's going on. Other than that, a lot of this stuff doesn't even seem real. So you can't actually summon the power and the energy that is necessary to actually begin to really tackle some of this stuff that's going on in the subconscious mind, meaning that it's a bit difficult to begin to accept your faults throughout thousands of years, maybe, or take this as your responsibility and move Godhead, God figures out of the way and put yourself back into the control seat. All that does become not as simple if you have so much clutter going on. So the answer is to find yourself within yourself. You must now clean out what's not you in attempt to the toxins, the pollutants, the carbons, the deposits, and the things that accumulate within the body, calcify the body, that don't allow it to perceive what it really is. And not a perception that just comes from reason or just the mental body, but how you feel and how your actual consciousness is beginning to vibrate. So that's what I have to say to that question. Next question here is, if your higher self, oversoul, etc., sends you information and you don't go with it, or somehow they say they expect it, and you use the information, etc., let me read this again. If your higher self, oversoul, etc., sends you information, you don't go with it or use that information, can it get angry and punish you? And they say, and punish you type thing for not using the information which it has sent you. Okay, so you can see what the person's saying. They're asking if your higher self sends, or your oversoul sends you some information and you don't follow this information, can you be punished? And the first thing is that a long time ago we talked about stop referring to, let me put this in the correct tense, and I'm a little amped up from the earlier conversation, but we talked about beginning the progress of not referring to the oversoul and the higher self as if it's something separate from you. This is still a part of the whole trap. It's no different than thinking the God or the Santa Claus is up there in the sky somewhere. It's actually a process, though, because I think it is better to have a concept such as the higher soul or the oversoul than to some creative God that looks like Santa Claus or has his beard and looks like Gandalf that's ready to judge you when you die. So it's a progress, but part of that progress is getting rid of this idea that the higher self or the oversoul is actually separate than you, because you would need to understand the context of what you're talking about. So this higher self or oversoul comes from the concept that there is a higher octave, or if you may, a perfected version of you. And that is in fact true, because as you get closer to the source, you're only shifting octaves and frequencies and activating something that is already there. So it's not necessarily a new creation. If anything, it's going back into the time where there's no such thing as creation, time, etc. So to say that it would be punishing you is a little out of context. But what I will say, though, is if you're constantly getting that hint of what you need to do, Of course, you're going to experience the repercussions if you don't choose to do it. This is the same as if you have a lighter there and you go put your hand over it and then you get that indicator that, hey, you need to move your hand or you're going to get burned. And you don't do that fast enough, you're going to get burned. So it's as easy as that. Every action has a reaction. And if you know that there's something that you should do and you're just allocating that to the higher self is telling you that, that's all fine and dandy. But still remember, it can be based on very simple things. Just as we talked about today, there's, you know, you can begin to discover the as above, so below relationship between everything. And then you can actually say to yourself, hey, I mean, am I saying to myself, well, I need to chill out a little bit on, you know, just consuming all these meats and, you know, not putting any vegetables in the body, not getting on any minerals, not working with breathing at all, because it's logical. This has nothing to do with religious persuasion or preferences. It's logical that this is going to end up doing some type of damage to your body, and that is going to then reflect on your consciousness. Have you ever tried to listen to something on this caliber and you're sick? It becomes very difficult to even comprehend what's going on, or even hungry, because it's your physical body. And so we talk about addressing your physical body, also staying in shape. You know, if you go out, take a walk, run, if you still have the genetics or the ability to shape yourself up, go to the gym, you know, get some breath going on so that you keep a lot of energy coursing through your body, because that's what's going to naturally put you in a position to be able to make the right decisions that you need to make. So the next question here is, what step do I need to take that's going to take me to the next stage of my spiritual personal evolution? And this answer to the question is very just pretty much the same as what I answered on the previous. And not to mention, that's an answer that you're going to have to tell yourself based on where you're at. But again, if you haven't started cleansing your body, because see, the reason why it's so difficult for people to participate in cleanses is because it's an actual activity. Instead of just sitting back and listening and judging, now you have to actually do something. And people find that when it's time to fast, or it's time to clean that liver, or it's time to get that out of your kidneys, right? And get some stones out of there, then it's like, well, I'm hungry. So it's like always wanting the pleasure, 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 like the mouse with the pleasure button, but never wanting to experience the bitterness of the medicine so that way you can see the benefits that come beyond that, right? It's the same thing in the world. The world introduces a lot of bitter. It introduces the war, the famine, the pestilence. And so we want to get into something that is more beneficial. The same thing with working out. You know, you get sore, you lift heavy weights, you get sore. It's painful, but you want that nice physique, that nice shape, and that ability, that breath, you know, and the cardio, etc. So this is how everything is. And so that doesn't change with consciousness. You have to realize that you got to put some work in on the physical body in order to get it shaped up properly. You got to watch what's coming in the portals. There's entire shows dedicated to that. You can join the InterVersity. It gets into great detail and speaks in great detail about these things, which is on secretenergy.com. But it's just, again, it's about checking your portals, your mouth, your ears, your eyes, every place that you're taking in something, and then making sure that what's coming through those portals has actually been checked by you. You got to become the customs, if you may, of your own ship. So that way nothing comes aboard that just wreaks havoc and causes total chaos within your universe. And that's united inside of you, but also can be in conflict. Like if you drink this soda, you're going to be in conflict with your liver, because your liver doesn't want to process all that sugar. So this is what a real universe is. So of course, at a certain point, we're going to start seeing the connections with all this stuff, because it's a real connection. It exists within us. It's not something that someone's creating or someone is making up, because there's no one to follow here but self. So the next question here is, the person is wondering if I have a understanding, or they put here understanding, which is great, of why all the blood sacrificing in ancient times, and what did this offer the gods, and does it symbolize something? And for those who want to know the answer to that question, they need to understand that the process of when a soul is released from the body had been seen by the ancients as a very sacred process in which they could tap into the energy that is present when the soul is making that transition. And personally, obviously, I don't subscribe to things like sacrificing or even killing animals. So I'm definitely not going to subscribe to blood sacrifices having any relevancy to the progress of anyone's soul. But just to understand it, there was oftentimes in an attempt to evoke the animalistic energy or the zoomorphication behind the animal that was being sacrificed. That's what would happen. So in a tense of, let's say, Jehovah, because Jehovah is connected to the horn god, then there was a lot of cows that were sacrificed and burnt as burnt offerings because the release of those souls was somehow tied in for those people to the evocation of getting that god to become present. So that's what you're dealing with. And obviously different animals have different souls within them. So the ancients looked at that being the time to sacrifice those souls in order to bring through those kind of energies or to cause certain things to happen that were tied into those energies. The next question here is, this person says, I keep experiencing this high-pitched sound while I'm dreaming and when I'm half awake and when I'm half dreaming. And I can make the high-pitched sound get louder and louder, but I feel like my entire body is going into shock. And then I also feel as if my brains are going to, when I concentrate on increasing this high-pitched noise. And that sentence wasn't finished. Please, can you explain what's going on? Because I have no idea the knowledge of what is going on. And sorry that this is the best that I can explain. And you definitely don't have to apologize. I know what you're talking about. And what this is about is for those who want to experience their own frequency, all you got to do is get a pair of really good earplugs, lay on your bed without as much noise as possible around you, and just listen. And you'll start noticing you'll hear this pitch or this ringing. And for those who've been on certain, chakra activating substances, you can hear the ring begin to increase as you're going up through the frequencies. And then you'll start to notice the higher that the frequency gets, then the visual spectrum begins to change. And then oftentimes you can see things. Oftentimes objects pixelate, like chairs and walls and all that. They become more soluble and less dense or static. And then you can even start to peer through those objects. And this is because you're actually shifting frequencies. So all that frequency can be governed by the mind, and you can drive up or pull down your energy. Now, of course, our frequency, and most people are very familiar with how to pull down their frequency and really lack the ability of understanding that they also have the ability to increase that frequency. So this is what you're experiencing. Yes, you do have the ability to, when tapping into that pitch, to think, hey, this is going higher, or to feel, this is the word I really meant to use, hey, this is going higher, and then you'll notice that that frequency begins to rise. So that's how you control your frequencies, and that's what's going on. The next question is it me projecting the reality, or does something ever get in the way and create what it wants? Okay, and the answer to this question is really answered more in the first episode of The Keymaker. And the answer to that is that until you really understand, or understand, as we say, the whole mechanics to actually creating realities and sustaining realities, then much of the reality is hosted. And that's because we've embedded ourselves with a language, we've embedded ourselves with mechanics that we feel like are actually true to the point that they become solid. So if we understood the multidimensionality behind everything, that all is really self, that all does really come from the same source, then you can actually dominate other less dominant frequencies. Meaning if it's plastic, if it's bismuth, if it's metal, and if it believes that it's plastic, bismuth, metal, because it does have a consciousness, but you know that it's all the same thing, then you get the effect of what is like bending the spoon. The element actually bends to what you want it to be. And for those that think that this may be far-fetched, it's the same thing of what hallucinogenic substances do. The hallucinogenic substance such as DMT or ayahuasca, which DMT is the active ingredient, believes much more in itself, that it knows that it who it is, and it's firmly rooted into what it is, which is thousands of years, if not aeons, worth of who it is. So when a human being ingests it, because they're less sure of who they are until you become an adept, then your reality is completely altered to where you become really the plant rather than who you are until it starts to reduce itself from the body. So this is what you're experiencing at times when you feel like someone else is actually creating the reality around you, like money and like all the stuff that we deal with. And it's because that reality is being hosted, and it's hosted from the hive, meaning thousands, millions of people believing in this structure is actually what keeps it solid. The greatest thought on most people's mind on a continuous basis is how the world is going to be here, especially tomorrow. Most people don't expect not to wake up tomorrow and start living the next day. So these kind of signals go out on autopilot, and they're what keep this whole thing solid. So the next question is it, let me check the time really briefly here, excuse me. Next question here, we got plenty of time, is it moral to get the experiences you seek in reality while sticking with your morals and conviction with respect for the divine feminine and all parties involved? And I guess what the person is really saying is that do you at times have to engage in immoral actions in order to get the full experience out of the reality? And this is a really tough question, because what we find is that as we work to achieve balance, we often do get ourselves into things or make decisions that don't seem to be the moralistic bearing that we should have chose. And what I'll say is that we have to look from the aspect of the soul. From the soul, everything is experience. So even some of what we would say are the worst characters in the reality are actually in the play or in the dance themselves. They are fulfilling that role. And true enough, they may be completely dominated by that character, especially when it comes to exerting energy and control over others. But it is all part of the grand scheme of things. And since the worst thing that can happen to you is that you die, which is not really even real, then we have to ask ourselves exactly how much these type of things are really impacting us when we make one decision or the another in order to get to the next part of our experience. So what you'll find is that I haven't met any people that were really dynamic that hadn't been through some really tough times. So we can roll it all in with that, that sometimes we make these decisions that put us in situations that are very demoralizing for us and seem like they were founded on completely us not making the right move. But yet that teaches us how not to do that again. Or sometimes we have to go through those procedures several times in order to see the true ramifications of it. So this is all a part of real human life. This is a part of being an adept, which means to actually to experience things as the way that they are and to begin to really deal with the repercussions of what happens next. And then hopefully from that, well, not in the case of the soul, hopefully, but actually growing from that, because the soul is always going to grow from those experiences. But again, one thing that I will say is that because you reach this, let's say, for instance, age of reason, this becomes your own golden age. It basically becomes a time to where you put childish things away, meaning that you know exactly what the repercussions behind certain actions are going to be. This is like a creator. You know what you're going to do is going to create this certain effect. So if that's not the effect that you're looking for and the effect that you desire, and you know that that's hinged in on, let's say, an addiction or hinged in on a real issue that you've determined in your mind is an issue, then it is up to you to begin to find solutions for that. Because I can't go and tell someone that, let's say, a rapist, that it's okay to go and rape people because that's all a part of the experience, even though that's immoral. That such things are been put in the wrong category. You have to begin to ask yourself, what decisions am I really making? What are the overall? Because you'll have so many examples. So sometimes these questions could be for a person just to give you consent to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing anyway. And so those questions are kind of loaded. But if it's just a simple question of, hey, does sometimes the decisions that I make are not the right decisions? Do they serve me in some way? Yes, they do. But at the same time, when you start to really begin to go through life's experiences, then you realize what kind of works for you and what doesn't. And then by all means, begin to consider others. That's the part of the compassion, how it's affecting them. So that way that you can see the entire scope of things. And then you will find that you're never putting yourself into a situation where you'll be compromised. The next question here is, if we continuously reincarnate on the planet, and this will also answer the question earlier about the person wanting to understand how humans come to the planet, but if we continuously incarnate on the, if we continuously are being reincarnated into this planet, from where are we coming from? Do we have choice coming here? How do we leave? There are so many souls here now. Where do excess souls come from? If there are any, and are there no warnings or signs also about what the Archon's relationship to all this is? Okay. And obviously this is a very broad question, and we have about, well, my clock says 10 minutes on the TFR clock, and okay, so I guess I'll go by the TFR clock. So I got about 10 minutes to answer a very, you know, broad question, so I'll do my best. So the first question is do we have choice coming here? Let me see if we are continuously being reincarnated on this planet. From where are we coming from? Okay, so where are we coming from? Now, we talked about that energy as itself comes from the subjective plane. And these are things that you're going to probably need to, for the person who asked this question, begin to go methodically back through the shows, starting from this one and go back, because I have taken whole shows to explain this in great detail, especially the reincarnation process. But if I was to shorten it, what I would tell you is that there is a space known as a subjective plane. And the energy that's in that place, that space, is not separate at all. It's not divided. Division is a part of holistic planes. It's a part of physicality. So there's a plane where nothing is divided, and that energy that comes from that plane passes through a portal. It means a filter. Portals, chakras, filters, all the same thing. They shape, form, and fashion. Of course, planets, all the same thing. They shape, form, and fashion based on their frequencies, the being that's coming from that space. So I guess that is actually the end of the hour, and our clock is a little bit off. And so I'll go ahead and conclude today and just say wholeness and balance and vibration to everyone. We're going to get to the questions next week.